Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Is going to be played this morning. I just got a huge smile on my face because there are times when I sit at work and as I'm going through my day, I'll go onto YouTube and I'll bring up that song. There's a video from a performance that Hillsong did in Miami with that song, followed up by a song called With Everything. And I tell you, I listened to it. It's actually about 19 minutes long. So, but I have 19 minutes of my own little private time of praise and worship while I'm sitting at my desk working. And it's so awesome. And so yesterday, I was in the car with Eli and Bella. And I've told you before, especially with Bella, she will really challenge you sometimes. And she started asking about, do we have the same Jesus, or is there a different Jesus for each one of us? I'm like, oh, okay, good. While I'm driving, right? Got to start digging into all this stuff. So I said, well, we have the same Jesus. Yeah, if y'all want to go ahead and have a seat, go ahead. I said, we have the same Jesus. And she started questioning me a little bit more on that, trying to wrap her little mind around how that's possible. And part of what it was she was kind of looking for like an external presence next to each one of us, because she thought, well, if there's just the one Jesus, you know, if he's with this person, that means he can't be with me right now. And we talked about this for quite a bit. And finally, and I tried to explain the word omnipresent, and that's great with a seven-year-old. And then, I said, well, Bella, I said, you have Jesus in your heart. Eli has Jesus in his heart. I have Jesus in my heart. And all of a sudden it clicked with her, you know, that Jesus was in our hearts. And it meant something to her then, that to know that's how he's with each one of us. Because if we pray, he's, you know, the Bible says he stands at the door and knocks, and it's us, up to us to open the door and let him in. But when we let him in, he is in our hearts, each and every one of us. And a passage of scripture that I know you all are very familiar with around here, because we read it quite a bit. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That transformation that takes place in our hearts when we ask Jesus in. So as we wrap up, and first off, let's give the band a huge hand, especially John. John, we appreciate you so much stepping in for Pastor Mike today. Pastor Mike is away, and John just stepped right up and filled the void. We are so thankful for that. But as we close this part of the service out, I just ask everyone to bow your heads for just a moment. And if you have not received Jesus in your heart, that transformation hasn't taken place. He hasn't cleaned you from the inside out. And you want that with him. And as I said a couple weeks ago, I'm not really, my strength is not leading people into big corporate prayer, but I like to keep it simple. And if that's you, just take this moment to just say, Jesus, I do receive you. I'm opening my heart, the door of my heart to you. I receive you into my heart, Lord. And I lay my life down at your feet. And I am just so, I am just so thankful for the sacrifice that you made for me, and I want to give my life over to you. And just let Jesus know that right now, that you do accept him, that you do want to become a child of his, and that you do want to ask him into your heart. You receive him into your heart, just as I talked about with the kids yesterday. And Father, as we do wrap up this time of worship, Lord, it's wrapping up worship and song. The worship continues on in prayer and in the word that you're going to have for us in a moment, Lord. And we're just so grateful that we have this chance to come into your house, Lord, to be with other believers, Lord, and also to minister to those who maybe don't have that relationship with you right now, Lord, that we would make ourselves available to them and lead them into that, Father. We just pray for your blessings over the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Carl, come share the message that God has laid on your heart.
All right. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. I was just sitting there, and I just started busting out laughing because the church that I went to my whole life before here, for a couple years, that was the video they played right before someone would come out and take up the offering and do the message. And I was just sitting down there. I'm just, of all videos in the world you could pick, it's the one that is funny to me to pick because I heard it every Sunday morning for years. I think it's fun. And right, I'm not Pastor Barry, as you can tell. Although I do have salon perfect hair. So I got that going for me, which is nice. Well, it's good to be with all of you today. I am so excited. I always have a lot of stuff here. I hope I can get through it all, but we'll see how far we get, you know. And I will start off with one of the most powerful things that ever happened in my entire life. It started about a year and a half ago. It was July of 2016. I'm sorry, January of 2016. My wife and I usually do a fast at the beginning of the year together. And it was when I was making the transition to come here. And I said, Lord, I really have to hear what you want me to do. And so we always put fasting and prayer up there. If you want to hear God, if you want to humble yourself before him, God always speaks to me when we do this. If you want to hear his voice, you chase after him this way. We did that. And usually how it works with me is I get through the end of the fast, we break it, and then in prayer that following week, the Lord just downloads all the stuff. And right before then, we'd start attending here the April before. And Pastor Barry, I was here for just a little while, and he says, you're supposed to be a pastor. And I said, you don't even know who I am. What are you doing? So I was like, I've always blown it off. And he just kept coming at me. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do this. I'm like, I'll help you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But I don't need the title. I don't need anything. I'll just help you. Just tell me what you want me to do. I'm there. But he said, when are you going to Bible school? I'm like, I'm not going to Bible school. Not doing it. I said, self-study. And but he is a persistent man, you know. So I ended up, this was that transition thing. He's working me over, right? And then I had this dream, and it was in two parts. And the first part was about where I came from. It was about my former pastor. And we were sitting in Mario's Cafe right down the street. It's full in the morning because we usually go to breakfast on Tuesday mornings unless something doesn't cause it to work. But we're sitting there, and I'm across from him. I'm telling him, I said, get to the second part, and I go, and here's the second part. And I was really wanting to get to the second part. And as soon as I said that, the presence of God came down in that place. I kid you not. It's my burning bush moment. So I'm sitting there, and I start to cry uncontrollably, like I'm sobbing like a baby. Like you have a newborn and you just do something wrong and all of a sudden they're crying out of control. That is me. I'm doing that. And then I'm laughing hysterically at the same time. And if you've ever tried to do that, it's not easy to do. I feel like I'm going into convulsions in my mind. You know, it doesn't know what to do. And, I mean, I tears coming down. I got snot coming out my nose. I'm trying to talk. And he's over. He's looking at me. He goes, oh, my gosh, I see it. And he goes, you can feel it, can't you? And I mean, I've been going on for about 10 seconds out like this. And he's like, you can feel it, can't you? And he's just having fun with me because he knows I can't talk. I'm stumbling. I'm opening my mouth. Nothing's coming out. And he goes, oh, my gosh, I see it. I said, I've only seen this one other time. He said he saw the heavens open up, hands come down, put a mantle on me. And he goes, I'm supposed to read something to you. And the only time at breakfast he has ever had his leather-bound Bible with him was this morning. Opens his Bible. He could have picked any verse out of the whole Bible. And he opens it to Joshua 1. And he starts reading from Moses, my servant, is dead. It is up to you, Joshua, to lead my people in the promised land, so be strong and courageous. He goes down for about 10 verses. But as soon as he stops, it lifts off my mouth and I could talk again. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I said, this is so cool. I said, I really wanted to say this. It was blowing my mind because the second part of the dream was the Lord showed me that like Joshua, I'm supposed to teach people, not just here, but everywhere, but mainly it was for, I believe, SCRC. Like Joshua, you're going to teach my people how to shout before they have the victory, and then they will have the victory, and then you'll be able to lead them into the promised land. And when I said that, he's like, oh my gosh, he was planning on being gone the first time I was going to speak to you. He grabbed his phone and goes, Pastor so-and-so, I am so sorry I can't be there that day. We have to reschedule. Click. He goes, I'm going to be there for that day. And I believe the reason why I've not been able to share that with you is because I'm supposed to share it with you today. Is that this, I believe, is where we're going, is people of faith. Because people of faith do it different than people in the world. We shout and scream and have the victory before it even looks like anything close to victory. This is where we're going. This is where the Lord wants us to be. It's not when things happen, we're looking to the sky and we're looking to this, and we don't look at that stuff. I only prayed one time for the weather for our wedding reception for my oldest daughter yesterday. I said, Lord, you know what I need. Thank you. And it rained in the morning. Sun comes out, 80 degrees. We had to, you know, deal with a little bit of water on the ground. I think it's great. And they got done playing their games. Everything got put away. Last worker that was paid leaves. And then it starts pouring down rain again, like right left up in sheets. And I'm like, yeah, Lord, you always take care of us, you know. But our faith has to be built. And there's an order to the way God does things. And we have to do it his way. You can't do it your way and expect to get God results. So, in light of that, I brought a baseball with me. Because you people love baseball a lot. I hear all the stuff. I see the Facebook posts. There's some diehard Cardinal fans in this joint. So I brought my autographed Lou Brock Hall of Fame 1985 baseball. So it's not just an ordinary baseball. See, Mike, I'm not joking this time. I tried to trick you guys last time with my Tom Brady signed football. That this is a real one. Certificate of authenticity at home. But I thought I would bring it because, like baseball, you know, we all love the game. But when we approach things like the world, then we think it has to be played like the world too, right? So the catcher, you know, I'm going to pretend all of you are Yachty today. Everybody likes Yachty, don't they? Who doesn't like Yachty? I mean, come on. He's the man. So you all are Yachty, and I'm going to pretend to be Jesus today, bringing the pitch. It's a stretch, I know. No, Yachty usually calls for that sign, you know, he calls for the pitch. And that's us. We're talking to the Lord and said, Lord, this is what I need. I need you to do this for me. Telling him what to do. Lord, bring the heat. Strike this joker out. And the Lord throws you a curveball instead of a fastball. And then you freak out because it's coming. It starts out real high, and you're like, I'm going to miss that thing altogether. But you know, all God wants us to do, which is the title of the sermon today, is get in position. You have to be in position to receive and hear what God is saying to you. And there's things that we do that automatically put us out of position. And what I want to go through is some of the things that put us out of position all the time. We see it, we hear it with people that we know, so I'm going to try to get through as many of these as I can. Because I want your faith to be built to believe that when you get in position, you are going to hear God speak to you. You're going to be directed by the Spirit of God in everything that you say and do. First one, I'm going to do a couple from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:15. Unforgiveness. If we don't forgive others, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. And this includes grudges, resentments, etc. Forgiveness is for you, guys. It's not necessarily for the other person. Many people don't want to forgive somebody because it hurt too much or the emotions are too strong. But just that one thing, you not forgiving somebody else, is all it takes to get you out of position. Then you're out until you get it fixed. And last time, one of my other sermon here too, you saw me throw boxes up here. Well, one of them was that sin box. And I threw it. And I remember what I told you then. Don't go running back up there at any time and pick it back up. So even if you forgive somebody, you got to forgive somebody. Don't go back up there picking up that box and bringing it back in and putting it on the shelf again. When you forgive people like Christ, he forgives you, it's gone. So when you forgive people, you forgive them and don't pick it back up ever again. See, in the front row, you get kicked a little bit. Two is a lack of reconciliation in Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come offer your gift. So we don't just willy-nilly throw offerings in when we know things aren't right with other Christians that are in our life. This is not the world. The world's going to hate you. Get used to it. But this is people in the church family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. If there is an issue you guys are not resolved, you need to resolve it. If you need to get a pastor or somebody to resolve it, do what you got to do, get it resolved, and then you move on. Don't let something sit out there because your giving is worthless while this is going on. This is what the Lord said, not me. I got many of these, so I got to keep moving. Unthankful heart. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So stop your whining, stop your complaining, and be grateful in every situation. It might not look like things are going to go the way that you want it. But that doesn't matter. You got to get used to not using your eyes all the time. We walk by faith and not by our sight. Sight's handy when we live in a physical world because we need it to navigate around. But we should not be using our physical sight for our spiritual life. You have to separate those two. But many times, I hear all the time, people bring the physical sight into their spiritual life. Do what you have to do to separate those two. And you know, just like Yadi, he might call for that 1-2, but he might not get that. The Lord might be asking or wanting to throw another pitch, but going back to the analogy, what should Yadi be doing? He should be saying, Lord, what pitch do you want to throw? What pitch do I need right now? Just because this person always hits fastballs or always hits the changeup or whatever, it doesn't mean that he can't throw whatever he wants. He can throw a junk ball and strike everybody out all at one time. If you don't know what a junk ball is, don't matter. That's for the baseball people. But you get the idea. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And sometimes, you know, we start freaking out when that curveball's coming. We're like, Lord, and then we start speaking against the curveball, which is even worse. You pray, Lord, I want change. I want this. You ask him for something. Well, he starts bringing it. And then you start bailing out and freaking out behind the plate back there. It's not the way that I saw it was supposed to happen. So you're moving and you're twitching and you're like, I don't know what to do here. This thing's coming. This is not what I want. I'm going to speak against you, ball. We do silly stuff like that. We're speaking against whatever the Lord's trying to do. How do you know it's not the Lord trying to help you here? And you know, I've always noticed in my life, I was just telling my youngest son this not too long ago, that there's the things that God allows into our life that looks like it is the end of the world. Life as you know it will never be the same again. Whether it was that job you've got or a relationship with a certain person, whatever it is, it looks like it's over with. But I've noticed that God uses those things to move me in position where I need to be to get blessed or to get what he's really got for me. There's a prayer that I've seen before in a Jewish prayer book. This is for you, Pastor Harvey. Once or twice in a lifetime, a man or woman may choose a radical leaving, having heard, go forth. God disturbs us toward our destiny by hard events and by freedom's now urgent voice, which explode and confirm who we are. We don't like leaving, but God loves becoming. I like that. When I saw that, I said, man, I'm going to share that with you guys. Because in my life, that's how it's been. The really couple times where not only was I upset at the time spiritually, but just physically, you can't sleep because these things are going on. It's impacting how you deal with life. But when we have faith to believe that God is in control, so he knows what's going on, he knows exactly where we need to be in position to receive what he's trying to bring into our life, then we can confidently stay there and know he's with us. Next one is unbelief. James 1:6-7. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man or woman suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. This is where it comes back to our faith again. You knew that had to be in there somewhere. You know, I shared with you a couple weeks ago about John 11:25, when Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life, that he who believes in me, even though he were dead, he will live. He was speaking to Martha right before he raised Lazarus from the dead. And I love when Jesus talks, he'll throw something in at the very end. He'll go, do you believe this? Wanting a response from her. You, O man of faith. Great man of faith. I bless you. Because faith, not only the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, this is where the not seen thing comes in. Quit using your physical eye and rely on you hearing from God, getting peace in your spirit. For me, I know I hear from God when it hits me in my spirit. It hits me right in here. It's not a head thing. Starts with heart, and then it's going to eventually make sense in the head because we use our physical perception to take what God's speaking to us, and we pray it through. Lord, what do you want? Is this what you want me to do? We can ask for a confirmation, and the beauty of the confirmations is it involves our brain. Wow, this person would have never done that, or this event would have never happened. Just like this event that I had with Pastor Barry, I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to do it, because he is relentless and bothering me about it. And he is not going to stop anytime soon. Every other week is, have you enrolled yet? I said, if you want me to do that, then you got to do something. You show me. You give me a confirmation. Well, I can tell you what, that I got a confirmation all right. one that we'll never forget. But remember, he also said that if we have the faith to believe that a mountain can be thrown into the sea, and we don't doubt it in our heart, then we're going to get it. And I've taken that very literally. So for years, I've talked to inanimate objects. I'm weird like that. Everybody who knows me knows I'm weird. But when we first moved into our last house, which was in 2000, about 17 years ago, there was this nice big oak tree by our house, and I wanted it trimmed because it was all the branches were coming up in the house. And the company's going, oh, because the house was just built the year before. And they go, man, those bulldozers got way too close. It crushed all the roots on the one side. That tree's going to end up dying. So you can pay $800 now to trim it, or you can pay $3,000 for us to take it out, or, you know, you can just pay the $3,000 now. We'll just take the tree out for you, save you $800. I said, I'll take the $800 option. And when those guys got done cutting the tree and all that, I went down there and laid my hands on that tree, and I said, you're going to live and not die. You're going to bring forth more branches. And I spoke life over that tree, and boy, did it have life. That thing has dropped more acorns. It's like when the wind would blow, it was like a hailstorm outside of all the nuts hitting the house. We'd be sleeping up there. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that tree is dropping a ton of acorns. And another story. This is the kind of stuff I do. It's kind of crazy. Not only pray for people, but you pray for over anything. So we were in our new house the first week, and I think it was that Thursday night I came home from work. It's already dark. It's 5:30, and I turn the corner, and my lights shine over the property. There's about 35 deer in our front yard. More than I could count. Never seen that many deer in my life at any time, anywhere. I come up to my driveway. There's one literally standing on the driveway just looking at me like, yeah, this is our place. I'm like, really? So I stop the car. I get out. And I said, okay, all you deer. You can sleep out there. You can eat the grass out there. You can't eat anything by the house. And if you have to take a dump, you go to the neighbor's yard. That is all. And you know what? Those deer don't poop in my yard. You got to give them instructions. But when you ask in faith, not doubting in your heart. You can speak to animals. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they used to speak to us. So I figure they understand. They might not be able to communicate with you. All right. Selfishness. James 4, 2 through 3. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. This is from the New Living Translation. I'm skipping translations on you here. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want it only what will give you pleasure. So you know what? You're the only one that really knows if you're asking wrong. I can't listen to you and know in your heart whether your intents are right or not. So you have to know, am I wanting this just for me? So I just wrote down a quick couple, two things. Like every time you pray, you can just quickly say, is what I'm praying going to bless somebody else? And is what I'm praying going to bless the kingdom of God? And if you can answer those two things yes, then I say go for it. You should be praying that out loud. I think a lot of times we push it, you know. We want something just because we want something. And it's not like God doesn't want to give us things. But what is the intent? What is the point? What is the purpose? Is it so you can consume it? Is it just, I just want it? Or is it really to bless somebody else? I've seen God do that in my life a lot. I could tell even more stories. But I don't know if I have time to do that. I want to make sure I get through this here. So the next one is disobedience. 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And I've told people before too, if you have a hard time obeying the written word of God, which is sitting right there in front of you for you to read, which the word is Christ himself, if you can't obey what's already there, I think it is very unlikely that you should expect to hear God speak to you. If you can't obey what's already there, why is he going to bother trying to talk to you? Now, it doesn't mean he can't do whatever he wants, and there's plenty of stories in the Bible that Paul was on his way to probably kill more people, and Jesus stopped him in his tracks. But I said, I don't know if I want to live my life waiting for an encounter like that. So why don't we just obey what the Word of God says? And you know whether you're obeying it or not. I certainly hope you don't want me to tell you. I mean, I don't want to go around all day doing that. Give me a break. I really don't. So be obedient, children. Be obedient. For the Lord is watching, and that's all that matters. He's watching. If no one else is, you know he is. In fact, I'm more worried about that than whoever sees whatever's going on. I used to tell my kids that just because I'm not there, don't worry. The Lord's watching you. He's the one that keeps the score. He knows exactly what's going on. And sometimes he tells us. So number seven, this one is for you men, because the Lord would have it that way. In 1 Peter 3:7, husbands likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together in this grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I've seen more men blow things because of the way they treat their wife. And they think God's going to answer a prayer for them? Whew, are you kidding me? I've used that verse more times in men's ministry than probably almost any other one. These guys come in and they start telling their story and they talk about how they're treating their wife. And I'm like, seriously, dude, have you not ever read this part of the Bible? And then you start complaining about how God's not answering your prayer. Honestly, men, let this get in here. The way you, believe me, the Lord knows how you treat your wife. And he's watching how you're doing it. I don't think it's all that hard. Why don't you treat her like you'd want to be treated yourself? And you know what? Spiritually, she is equal to you. You're the head of the house from a spiritual standpoint, as the word dictates, but it doesn't mean that she doesn't have spiritual gifts. And I've told you guys before, I even said it at my daughter's wedding. When I did it, I was telling her new husband back there, Zach in the blue shirt, I said, the voice of the Lord sounds a lot like my wife's. And it's so true. The Lord uses her to speak to me all the time, so I treat her right. Because I want her to hear. And I try to help her hear. Whatever I can do to help her hear. You know what? I know we're totally out of time. But you know what? It seems good to the Spirit of God and to me to do this. And it's something I wanted to do for you, Pastor Mike Alexander, back in Columbia when they were doing your ordination. And remember I told you at the end of the back, I said, the Lord told me something to tell you. Remember that? And then we were going to go to breakfast and do all that, but we ended up talking about other stuff and never did it. And so I thought, hey, well, maybe the Lord will give us the green light to do it today, so I'm going to do it. So I had written down I got to correct my grammar. I got my grammar watcher back there. She's smiling at me. But it's a prayer of blessing, actually. And I'm going to pray it over you. I'm going to actually have my wife come up with me. Come on up. My better half, totally better half. I'm married up, as you can all see. Come on up. Carmen's not here, but that's okay. She's going to get blessed too. So I've been holding on to this, and I'm like, I'm excited. Wait till you hear what I believe the Lord is telling him and Carmen. So here we go. I'm going to do this so I can read so I don't mess it up. All right, for you, Pastor Mike and Carmen, your light will break forth like the morning, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will watch your back. Nothing will sneak up on you. When you call, the Lord will answer. And when you cry out to him, he will say, "Here I am." Because you have reached out to the hungry and helped those who are afflicted, your light will rise from obscurity, and the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy your soul in dry seasons. You and Carmen shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. You will raise up the foundations of many generations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach. The restorer of the past to dwell in. You will delight yourself in the Lord, and he will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. So in the name of the Lord, my wife and I call you and Carmen blessed of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, baby doll. It is hard to hold on to something when God shows it to you. You just want to go do it. But part of it is you got to wait. Wait till when the Lord says, do it now. So I'm coming back to this. And this is a big one I see people mess up on a lot. I don't think it's earth shattering, but it's something that's just not talked about very much. Last verse, unless the Spirit does something else. Proverbs 21:13. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. And I've seen people on their talk a lot of times, you know, when people say, well, you know, these people wanted something, or the poor people, or, you know, they want us to give to this or whatever. And then you say, well, I don't have any money to do that. I say, be careful. Be careful because of this right here. If you shut your ears to the cries of the poor, the Lord is going to shut his ears. In my mind, that's a crazy word. Something as simple as outreach to the poor. What I love about this church is Anna sitting back there. And whenever she goes over there to minister to these poor orphan kids, and her mom's there taking care of them. I mean, you don't get more biblical than that, a widow taking care of orphans. And when we give to the poor, you can bet the Lord's going to hear you, because the Bible also says, and I don't have this in the back for them, but Proverbs also says, he who gives to the poor lends money to the Lord, and he will repay you. That's why the rich young ruler didn't get it. Jesus said, give all your money to the poor. Well, if that guy knew his stuff, he would have gladly done it. Because why? Because the Lord would give it back. And more. He just doesn't give something back. I mean, it's like multiplied on multiplied. But he didn't get it. He wasn't willing to do it kingdom way. And we have to be willing to do it God's way. We have to not close our ears off when opportunities come. If someone comes to ask you for money, it's your opportunity right there. But I'm going to listen and be led of the Lord. There are people out there trying to scam you, but you don't always know unless the Lord tells you. But I don't think you have to worry about an Atai orphanage. I don't think those kids are going to try to scam you out of money from all the way from over there. I think we could use good judgment there. But whenever she should never have a financial problem for what she needs to do over there. If there's something that has to be done, if there's a need that has to be met, all she needs to do is tell the church here, these kids need this. That's a done deal. We need to do what we got to do to make sure that that's covered. We are not going to ignore the cries of the poor. That's what I love about this church, the connections of this church. Everything is here in the house, and whatever we need, the Lord will send it. Well, I'm excited. I am excited. So remember, you're behind the plate, and the special autographed Lou Brock baseball is coming right at you. 100 miles an hour. Oh, yeah, there go those hands, yeah. Come on. But don't bail out of the plate. Don't get scared. Don't operate in fear. Don't go by what you see. We're people of faith, right? We're people of faith. I keep hitting Chris because I'm imparting faith to Chris every time I hit him. That's how we do it. We lay hands on our brother and then we believe that we're going to see what we speak over people come out. So we're all watching, especially you, Pastor Alexander. You get to sit in the front, we all get to stare at you. But remember, don't bail out. Don't freak out. You're the one that has to help work with the Holy Spirit to clean your life up. Don't expect Pastor Barry to get up here and start, you know, kicking the sheep around. He's not going to do it. He's going to love the sheep. He's going to feed the sheep. But in the end, the sheep need to hear from the Spirit themselves. You know what's not right in your life. You know what you're not doing. I can tell the conviction on the stuff I was speaking today. You need to not ignore that. When you hurt in here, when the Spirit's trying to work in here, let him do it. Let him complete the work that he's starting from the inside out. That's how it works. You cooperate with the Holy Spirit to see spiritually. That's how Christians do it. So when you leave here, you might not have to get very far where you're going to want to use your eyesight to speak about your spiritual future. Remember, don't do that. Don't do it. Don't fall in the trap. We live in a real world, I get that, but don't let it impact your spiritual life at all. Remember, it's not about what you see here, it's about what you see in here. And when the Lord speaks to you here about what to work on today, then go work on it. And if you want to tell someone to hold you accountable, then do it. That's what the small groups are for. That's what the men's groups are for. That's what the ladies' groups are for. If you need accountability for something, then tell someone. That's how this works. When you confess your faults one to another, that's how you get completely healed. Yeah, you can pray and the Lord forgives you, but you get completely healed when you share it with people that you can be accountable to, that you can trust. This is what I'm working on. Hold me accountable. Healing happens then. So, all right, I am done. Thank you very much. I appreciate an opportunity to speak to all of you. And I'm going to let Pastor Mike come back up and close out. Don't take my Lou Brock ball.
Oh, yeah.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.